All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9.
Prahlad pacifies the Lord with praise. Text 27. Naisha.
Naisha.
Ravara.
Ravara.
Matir.
Matir.
Avatar.
Avatar.
Nano.
Nano.
Siya. Naisha.
Naisha para para mati babato nanusya.
Shanto yatatma suvito jagatastatapi.
Shanto yatatma suvito jagatastatapi.
Samsevaya suratoro arivate prasada.
Samsevaya suratoro arivate prasada.
Seva nurupa mudayo napara maratva.
Seva nurupa mudayo napara
maratva.
Na.
No, not.
Not.
Esha.
Esha.
This.
Para
avara.
Para avara.
Of higher or lower.
Of higher or lower.
Mati,
mati,
such discrimination,
such discrimination.
Bhavata,
bhavata,
of your lordship,
of your lordship.
Nanu,
nanu,
indeed,
indeed.
Siyad,
siyad,
there can be,
there can be.
Janto,
janto,
of ordinary living entities,
of ordinary living entities.
Yata,
yata,
as,
as.
Atma Surhita,
Atma Surhita,
of one who is the friend,
of one who is the friend.
Jagata,
Jagata,
of the whole material world,
of the whole material world.
Tatapi,
Tatapi,
but still,
but still,
there is such a demonstration of intimacy or difference,
there is such a demonstration of intimacy or difference.
Samsevaya,
samsevaya,
according to the degree of service,
according to the degree of service,
rendered by the devotee,
rendered by the devotee.
Surataro eva,
surataro eva,
like that of a desire tree in Vaikuntha Loka,
like that of a desire tree in Vaikuntha Loka,
which offers fruits,
which offers fruits,
according to the desire of the devotee.
According to the desire of the devotee.
Take
your
prasada,
prasada,
benediction or blessing.
Benediction or blessing.
Seva anurupa.
Seva anurupa.
According to the category of service.
according to the category of service.
One renders to the Lord. Udaya, manifestation. Na, not. Para avaratvam. Discrimination due to higher or lower levels.
Discrimination due to higher or lower levels.
Translation. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable, because for you there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service, exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires and makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 4 verse 11, the Lord clearly says, Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstataiva vijanyaham. As one surrenders to me, I reward him accordingly. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Surupaya Krishnera Nitya Das. Every living being is an eternal servant of Krishna. According to the service the living entity renders, he automatically receives benedictions from Krishna, who does not make distinctions, thinking, here is a person in an intimate relationship with me, and here is a person I dislike. Krishna advises everyone to surrender to him. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam charanam braja. One's relationship with the Supreme Lord is in proportion to that surrender and the service one renders unto the Lord. Thus, throughout the entire world, the higher or lower positions of the living entities are selected by the living entities themselves. If one is inclined to dictate that the Lord grant something, one receives benedictions according to his desires. If one wants to be elevated to the higher planetary systems, the heavenly planets, he can be promoted to the place he desires. And if one wants to remain a hog or a pig on earth, the Lord fulfills that desire also. Therefore, one's position is determined by one's desires. The Lord is not responsible for the higher or lower grades of our existence. This is further explained quite definitely in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 verse 25, by the Lord Himself. Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti patri vrata utani yanti bhute cha yanti madhya jano pimam. Some people want to be promoted to the heavenly planets, some want to be promoted to pitriloka, and some want to remain on earth. But if one is interested in returning home back to Godhead, he can be promoted there also. According to the demands of a particular devotee, he receives a result by the grace of the Lord. The Lord does not discriminate, thinking, here's a person favorable to me, and here is a person who is not favorable. Rather, he fulfills the desires of everyone. Therefore, the Shastras enjoin. Akama. Akama. Sarvakamova. Moksha kama udaridi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruit of results, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10. According to one's position, whether as a devotee, a karmi, or a jnani, whatever one wants, one can get if one fully engages in the service of the Lord. Naisha paravara matir bhavato nanu syaj jantor yatatma surido jagatastata pi. Some say vaya surataror iva te prasada se vanu rupa mudayo na parada bratva. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable, because for you there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service, exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires, and makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. Om Jnana Tamrandasya Jnanam Janashalaka Chakshu Militam Yen Tosmai Sri Guru Vedana Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidahi Swadhyam Vanchakalpa Charubhyas Chakrita Sindhubhya Vicha Aditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, this point here has been made in a very interesting way. That, as a rule, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is 100% impartial. Of course, we do make distinctions sometimes when we talk about the devotees, and Krishna makes distinctions sometimes in regard to the devotees. But that is not all the time. Sometimes he makes some special distinctions. Otherwise, though, as a general rule, the principle which is being described here is basically there, that nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yodhadadati kama, that there are, Srila Prabhupada translated this verse from Shvedashvatara Upanishad by saying generally that there are two categories of living entities. One category, Prabhupada said, has a plural number of members. That's us, of course. The other category has a singular number of members. There's only one member. That is Krishna. And eko bahunam yovadadati kama. The one has been fulfilling the desires of the many since time immemorial. This is certainly there. In fact, this is actually absolutely there and completely there without any exception in the case of the non-devotee. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna makes this point. Samoham sarvabhuteshu na me dveshosti na priyaha. Krishna says, Samoham, I am the same. Sarvabhuteshu, I'm the same to all living entities. Na me dveshosti, I do not hate anyone. Na priyaha, neither is anyone dear to me. So this is the rule. And this is the rule without exception with the non-devotee. Yes, Krishna has no favorites. Even if one is on the material platform, the worst of all horrible people, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that he talks about a person who is the most sinful of all sinners. So that is very simple person, very extreme type of person. So it is not that Krishna will have some sort of vendetta or some sort of special plan in terms of some special feelings he may have. No. That person is acting in certain ways, and by Krishna's arrangement, there are karmic reactions for those types of activities, and he just sees that those people get those. Upadrasta numantacha. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says that Upadrasta numantacha bharata bhokta maheshvara paramatmeti chap yukto dehesmin purusham param. That within this body there is another living entity. There is another living entity, not just one person. There are two living entities. But that one, he is the Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, and Upadrashta Anumantacha. He exists as the overseer and the permitter, and he is known as the Supersoul. Yes, he is not on some special mission to defeat the bad people, materially bad people, and to favor the materially good people. He's not on some mission of that sort. But rather, you act in a certain way, you get that karma. You act in another way, you get that karma. And the Lord is dispassionately, in a completely even state of mind, he is just overseeing and permitting that this is happening. He's not running out and grabbing someone by the throat. Neither is he patting someone on the back on the material platform. He's not doing that. He is making sure that people get what they deserve. But that is simply in terms of how they have conducted themselves only. And there's never any twist or any slant or any special treatment, one way or the other. So this is Krishna on the material platform, or as he relates with people on the material platform. So we can understand, as Srila Prabhupada is saying here, it was interesting, I was noting a little bit of the language Srila Prabhupada is using here in this purport, and it is language he does not often use. He uses twice, I think, specific terms of emphasis. First of all, he says in the first sentence. Then in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 11, the Lord clearly said, he normally doesn't use such terms of emphasis, but we'll just say that in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, the Lord said. But here, there's some, it appears to be some special emphasis. He's really trying to press this point home. And then a little further on, in the middle of the purport, Prabhupada is saying that one's position is determined by one's desires, and the Lord is not responsible for the higher or lower grades that we may achieve at different times on the material platform. Then he says, this is further explained quite definitely. Now that's a very strong word, really. Stronger than clearly. Quite definitely. So he's really emphasizing this point. This is a point we should try and take to heart then, that particularly on the material platform, there's never any question of the Lord expressing some special dislike or special appreciation, but you simply get what you deserve. So therefore, when people on the material platform are praying that, oh, please be merciful to me by giving me some money, perhaps, or curing my disease. It is not really that the Lord is being merciful in doing that. They're desiring, and he says that if you desire, I'll reciprocate, I'll give you. But it is not that he's thinking, oh, how nice, and let me intervene here. This is not an expression of his feeling. It's not an expression of his feeling on the material platform. He is simply, as Prabhupada, in fact, in the verse, he uses the word automatically. According to the service the living entity renders, he automatically receives benedictions from Krishna, who does not make distinctions, thinking, here's a person in an intimate relationship with me, and here's a person I dislike. So of course in that verse from Bhagavad Gita, Samaham Sarvabhute Shuname Gracious Dinatriha, Lord Krishna goes on to say, Yeva Janti Tamam Bhaktya Mai Tete Shachapyaham, that he says, however, for my devotee is in me and is a friend to me and I'm a friend to him. So the point is there actually, and this is a point that we refer to frequently, that the Lord sometimes does actually intervene in special ways in the life of the devotee, but still, even though that does happen, still the point is there, and Srila Prabhupada, in terms of the devotees, is focusing on this point here, in regard to the devotees, that even generally with the devotees, as a general rule, the Lord is not simply being favoring in this way and favoring in this way and that way and just always doing some sort of spontaneous type of reciprocation according to his feelings at different times. But even it applies with his devotees generally. As they surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly. So it is not that Krishna is just, you could say, running amok with his devotees, just doing all sorts of special things all the time, and there's no sort of rhyme or reason, it's just some sort of transcendentally emotional expression which varies from time to time. No, actually generally with the devotees also, as their rendering service, in devotional service. And if one devotee is not very serious and is not desiring very seriously to render service, then Krishna may just allow that devotee to carry on in some sort of mixed way. But some other devotee is making great efforts to render service and very sincerely trying to please the Lord and making some very wonderful attempt like that, then Krishna is reciprocating far more with that devotee. So, generally, this is all also going on the same basic principle. Yes, generally it's going on like that. That Krishna will reciprocate with us. He will relate with us basically as we are relating with him. And in Bhagavad Gita, in that verse 4.11, Krishna is making that point. And also, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Parichaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Shami Masucha. Krishna is saying there that if you give up all your other dharmas, just abandon them, and if you just surrender to me, then I will deliver you from all your sinful reactions. Then I'll deliver you. Yes. So, generally this is the system, that Krishna, even with the devotees, here, Prahlad Maharaj is addressing Lord Nrisimhadeva, and he says that you are, in one sense, you are just like a desire tree. You're just like a desire tree. And people come with different desires. One person desires some money. Another person desires good health. And they receive those things. But that is not some manifestation of different feelings on the part of the tree, simply reciprocating with the particular desire. So in many ways, this principle applies with the devotees. And we see, for example, in some other sampradayas actually, particularly the Sri Sampradaya, they are frequently, regularly referring to the Lord as a desire tree, and frequently stressing this point. Now, of course, we don't always stress this point in regard to the devotees. We do understand that Krishna sometimes makes exceptions with his devotees. Not that he's always making exceptions, just dealing differently and differently and differently, but sometimes isn't doing like this. Generally there are two situations. One is with Krishna himself. With Krishna himself, with his very elevated pure devotees. Or sometimes just Krishna himself. There is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's one very nice passage in which Krishna has just returned to Goloka Vrindavan, having been on this planet 5,000 years ago. And Lord Krishna is talking to himself, saying, sometimes my devotee, means neophyte devotee, sometimes my devotee desires something which is actually poison, but thinks that it is nectar. So Krishna says, however, I am very intelligent. So If this is the case, I do not give the devotee that. But rather, I deal with the devotee in such a way that the devotee will not again desire that thing. In other words, the devotee may get a good little kick just to sort of shake up the intelligence and give a little kind of hot-tasting, pungent type of realization. A lesson of that sort. Yes. So Krishna is saying like that. Sometimes his devotee is desiring something. In terms of what has generally been said here, and you might think that, well, Krishna will just give it to you. But not always. Krishna sometimes feels, let me intervene. Let me intervene in the life of my devotee to correct my devotee. Out of his mercy. What to speak of how he reciprocates sometimes with his very great devotees. Even with the gopis, Krishna came to the point of saying that I can no longer reciprocate properly. I'm no longer able to reciprocate appropriately and according to your desires or in befitting ways to equally reciprocate with your kind service. I'm no longer able to reciprocate like that, so you'll just have to be happy continuing on with your service, that's all. So there are exceptions, there are definitely exceptions. There's another case, another type of exception, that is with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Patita Pava, deliverer of the most fallen. Generally, the most fallen are not thinking, let me sincerely render service to the Lord. Generally, they are wallowing in their fallen condition, desiring all sorts of fallen things. But Lord Chaitanya, he is very merciful. So he comes. And he's known as Maha Vadanyaya Avatar, the most munificent incarnation. That someone may be a nonsense, but still he comes and says, here, take love of God. Not only does he deliver the person, give the person, you could say, a type of liberation or freedom from their suffering condition, but he gives them actually love of God. So, Narottam Das Thakur sings Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avata Mosamo Patita Prabhu Na Paiveya. That you are known as Patita Pavan, the deliverer of the most fallen. And I am the most fallen, so my claim for your mercy is first. It's like Lord Chaitanya has a particular hobby. Going around looking for people who are particularly fallen. We can see actually Lord Nityananda, he specifically had that hobby. In his mind, he's also Krishna, Lord Balaram. In his mind, he was thinking that if we, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, under his direction, as his servants, if we can find the most fallen people around and deliver them by his mercy, he'll become glorified. So they were researching in the local vicinities, asking, are there any fallen people around here? And sure enough, someone told them, oh, in the next block, Jagai and Madai. And Lord Nityananda, he immediately went there and started sort of strolling around trying to create a meeting. And he succeeded eventually. And he delivered them eventually. So it was not that Jagai and Madai had even a hint of a desire to serve the Lord or be delivered from material existence. And it was certainly not that according to their karma they were due for that, but it was the desire of the Lord to intervene and give mercy. So there are definitely exceptions, and these exceptions give that great richness which there is, particularly actually in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The Sri Vaishnavas, it's quite interesting how they stress this point, that the Lord is a desire tree. Even there are some places, actually, where some of our acharyas have commented that this example of desire tree may not always be appropriate, because these exceptions are there. The Lord makes exceptions for the devotees. However, anyway, Prahlad, he's an inhabitant of Vaikuntha and devotee of Lord Nrsimhadeva, Vaikuntha deity. So he's very much feeling like this. He's very much feeling like this. You're very fair, very equal. Even we see that Lord Nrsimhadeva, though, that Hiranyakashipu, he was the first class original leader of the demons. But because Prahlad Maharaj desired it, even before he desired it, just because Prahlad Maharaj was such a great devotee, the Lord delivered his father and many generations of his family. Prahlad had not been thinking about the other generations of his family, only his father, but Lord Nrsimhadeva delivered them. So even amongst the Vaikuntha deities, they may also do that sometimes. But otherwise, it's a general rule. You serve Krishna very sincerely, Krishna will reciprocate very nicely. If you serve in a half-hearted way, then Krishna may not be so interested. If we chant with offenses, then some reactions will come, some disturbances will come. But if we try to chant with very careful attention, it will be very nice. Very, very nice. The Lord will be very pleased and be very pleased to reciprocate. So generally, this is how things are working. So it is not generally that the Lord is favoring, but he is reciprocating. He is reciprocating with the conditioned souls always, in terms of how they desire and what they deserve. Of course, what they deserve is also related to their desires, and with the devotees in so many cases. He's just reciprocating in terms of how they're serving and trying to approach him like this. So, Prabhupada at the end of the purport is saying, making the point that we should, he's quoting Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushantaram. On the basis of this understanding, that the Lord will reciprocate, and ultimately, if we become connected with him and if we desire to approach him, even on any basis, then eventually we'll become purified and come to the platform of devotional service. Prabhupada is here quoting this verse and recommending that if you're a materialistic person and you're desiring material things, then approach the Lord, become connected with the Lord, and then you may get that material thing, but in due course of time, due to being connected with the Lord, then you'll come to Krishna consciousness also. If you're an impersonalist, approach the Lord. You may get some sort of elevation on the impersonal side, but because you're connecting with the Lord, you can also go beyond that and come to the platform of devotional service. also like this. Whatever one gets, whatever one wants, one can get through rendering service to the Lord, and ultimately one can get the supreme perfection. Any comments or questions? Well, you know, karma generally is like not exactly that. One's desires, of course they're connected with one's karma, but it's not necessarily directly one's karma. As an independent living entity, one has some capacity to desire. Yeah. Of course, that'll be influenced by one's karma, but it is not simply one's karma alone to be desiring certain particular material things. But Krishna says in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, yam yam bhavi smaran bhavam chajat yanti grevam. Whatever state of being you attain, or you remember, you will attain that. And the subtle body goes with you into your next gross body. The gross body, old gross body, is left behind. But the subtle body goes on into the next gross body. So in that way, one goes in, it's essentially just a continuation of one's previous existence. Well, the activity in the previous life which generated the good karma, that's already been done in the previous life. So even, of course, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes the point that it's not possible to not do anything. But even if he's, you could say, just a lazy fellow, something like that, it'll come. You know, there's some people that are born wealthy, very wealthy, and they never work their entire life. Yeah. So they just, you know, sort of play around. This is where the term playboy comes from. That's sort of where it comes from. Just born in that situation, never works, and just plays. So he gets, you know, all tremendous opulence, at least by our standards. So he doesn't need to do anything further in the next life to get that thing. In fact, he cannot avoid getting that thing. Just as if one were, according to one's karma, due to get some very severe disaster in one's life, whether one just sat there and waited for it to come, or whether one made all efforts to dodge it, but it would still come in the same way. Because that's already done. That's already done.
Yeah, what does it feel like for this person? Is it exclusive to karma from the previous
experience?
Desire can also be based on that.
see, there's a connection. If your karma is to have a human body, you'll have human desires of some type or another. If your karma is to have a male body, then you'll have male types of desires. But still, you know, my particular point was there that you cannot, when it comes to desire, you cannot relegate the individuality of the living entity. There's always a manifestation of the individuality. Even though karma is also, you know, a formative factor when it comes to desire, but the individuality of the living entity is also a very important factor. Yeah. Otherwise you end up, you know, sort of in some version of karma mamamsa or something like that. Yeah. It becomes another philosophy. You know, that we are simply products of our karma alone. And we are only able to act in terms of our karma alone. And nothing else. We cannot act independent of our karma. So, then, you know, you lose. This is a question that some people raise in different forms. Yeah. That are we capable of desiring, you know, independently? What is the form, the manifestation of our independence? Have we lost it altogether? Because you could say, by my karma, I got a male human body. Now, therefore, I don't go flying in the sky like a bird, and I don't, you know, all various things I don't do. I just act in certain ways as a male human being, and I desire in those ways. So therefore, you know, I am just a product of my karma, and there's only my karma. But as you know, karma is extremely powerful, but still the individuality manifests. Yeah. The minute independence is still there. And on the basis of the minute independence, we can, you know, the ultimate form of it is that we can then turn to spiritual life, which has nothing to do with karma. You know, karma cannot produce the desire to become a pure devotee, because that has nothing to do with karma. But the individuality of the living entity is there. So that's sort of the way I was looking at it. There's definitely choice. Yes. Of course, the influence of karma is very strong and influences our desire also. But we cannot say that we lose our individuality and all of our independence when we are desiring in the next life. Or at any time. You know, to sort of delineate which part is my independence and which part and to what degree, you know, the influence of karma is there, that's very fine. So therefore, and, you know, normally I don't think we really bother trying to go into the very intricate details like that. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the intricacies of action are very hard to understand. But in broad terms, we understand that the independence of the living entity is always there. Even though it's only minute, and it's being controlled in so many ways, that it's still there, and, you know, we can't overlook it. So if we can't just say that, you know, what you desire, it's just your karma. It's not just your karma. Any other comment on this one?
In connection of a parent and a child, for example, if the child would not happen to be, would it be the karma of the child or would it be the wrong being of the parent? get the wrong view of the parent, and reaction goes to the child.
Well, if I understand your question, I would say that it would be the child's karma to have the parent who does the wrong thing. Means, if the parent feeds the child the wrong thing and makes the child sick, or something like that. Is that the sort of situation you're going to be? Yeah. So it's the child's karma to have such a parent, and it's the child's karma, even very specifically, to be fed the wrong thing at that time. But at the same time, the parent, if they're abusing the child or doing something foolish, irresponsible, as parents, they will also have to take karma for doing, for mistreating the child.
But if the parent is doing wrong, would the reaction of the parent go to the child?
Not the reaction. It would be that the child would be receiving their own reaction by having the wrong thing done on the child. If the child, if the parent is beating the child, so parent will get terrible reaction from abusing some helpless little living entity. But it is the child's karma. In their previous life they did something, some things like that. And therefore it is appropriate in this life that now they get beaten, but they're helpless, they cannot do anything. They just get smashed like that. But, you know, there's not really transferal of karma other than Krishna being transferred to Krishna by his mercy, he may take it. Did I answer your question? You know, if you're trying to achieve this poisonous thing, thinking it's nectar, a Krishna, and but Krishna, sometimes Krishna may feel, oh, let him get kicked if he really wants to. Maybe that way he'll get the right idea eventually. But otherwise, according to that particular passage we were referring to, Krishna may think, oh, you know, my poor neophyte devotee doesn't understand clearly, and he wants this thing, but it will be very bad. So Krishna may stop that. So there you are, you're trying to get it, but it's not coming. And you're trying again, and it's not coming. And you're thinking, you know, how is it working? I'm desiring it, but it's not coming. So hopefully the idea is that eventually you'll see, oh, maybe Krishna doesn't want me to have it. So then you'll say, okay, I'll leave it. Yeah. So Krishna says, therefore, in that same passage, that rather, when my devotee is desiring like that, I may not give. Rather, I will deal with the devotee in such a way that they don't desire that again. You know, how it will come to that point that the devotee will think, okay, enough of that, we'll forget about that. Either through getting a bit of kicking, or just having it withheld and just kind of starved of it, and then you get some realization through that, or whether, you know, you hear from some other devotees and you get the idea, oh yeah, you know, how it may come to that point, that there can be so many ways, but basically by Krishna's arrangement it will come to that point, that after a while you will give up that desire.